Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
We reached the old wolf in time to watch a fierce green fire dying in her eyes. I was young then and full of trigger itch. I thought that because fewer wolves meant more deer, that no wolves would mean hunter's paradise. But after seeing the green fire die, I sensed that neither the wolf nor the mountain agreed with such a view.
Green fire. It was Leopold's literal description of what he saw in the eyes of the dying wolf. But the green fire also symbolized a new way of seeing ourselves in the world. And that new perspective would change not only Leopold, but the very course of conservation history.
You just listened to a clip from the newly released movie Green Fire, which looks at the life and influence of Wisconsin's own Aldo Leopold, one of the giants of conservation and one of the fathers of the environmental movement. I'm Glenn Moberg. More than 60 years after Aldo Leopold wrote his opus, A Sand County Almanac, about the wildlife and ecology of the land surrounding his shack near Baraboo, his influence continues to grow. Leopold wrote of the life-changing moment when he saw a green fire in the eyes of a wolf that he helped kill, and how it affected the way he viewed our natural world and our relationship to it. The movie has been shown to a few select audiences in north central Wisconsin, including to the Aldo Leopold Audubon Society in Stevens Point, and to a group of high school students in Wausau. And on June 2nd, it will be shown at the Community Foundation of north central Wisconsin's George L. Reuter Forum, here at UW-Marathon County's Center for Civic Engagement. Our guest today will be the keynote speaker on that day, Dr. Stanley Temple, Beers Bascom Professor in Conservation at the Department of Wildlife Ecology and the Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, and also a science advisor for the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Today we'll be playing clips from the movie Green Fire and discussing the life and influence of Aldo Leopold with Dr. Temple and with you at 1-800-780-9742. Dr. Temple, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us about this movie. What went into making it? How long has it been in the making? And why did you do it?
Well, the Aldo Leopold Foundation, which was the primary motivator behind the movie, has been around since 1982 and has always been grappling with how to extend Aldo Leopold's message about our relationship with the natural world to more general audiences. And taking a shameless clue from Al Gore's success with Inconvenient Truth, demonstrating that you can anchor an outreach program with a movie, we decided that probably that would be a good approach for us. It wasn't, however, until we cooperated with the U.S. Forest Service when they were filming their documentary film for the 100th anniversary of the U.S. Forest Service, which about a third of that film featured Aldo Leopold, that we started to discuss with them the possibility of collaborating on a film that would be specifically focused on Aldo Leopold. And the film has been in the making for the last 3 years. It just premiered for the first time in February of this year.
The production values are just really top-notch on the film, and you've even got the voice of Peter Coyote as Leopold.
Well, we were very fortunate that the U.S. Forest Service agreed to collaborate with us and essentially gave us their documentary film crew for 3 years, and they are literally a very top-notch documentary film crew. Peter Coyote, yes, is a fill-in for Aldo Leopold's voice, largely because we don't have any recordings of Aldo Leopold's voice.
Interesting story behind that. Tell us, there used to be recordings. Tell us what happened to them.
Well, when Aldo Leopold was a professor at the University of Wisconsin, he did regular radio shows on this very network, and they were recorded. This was back in the 1930s and early 1940s. The technology of the day, however, was not tape recording. The recordings were done on transcription discs, which were large vinyl, sort of looked like an oversized 78 RPM record. And if you had the funds, you generally bought aluminum discs with coated with vinyl. If you were going on the cheap, you bought glass ones. The glass ones obviously were heavy and fragile. The aluminum ones light and more durable, and Wisconsin Public Radio went for the aluminum ones. All was well until World War II came along, and virtually everything made out of aluminum in the country that wasn't of great value was recycled for the war effort. And unfortunately, that included all of the known recordings of Leopold's voice.
So if we decided to make some budget cuts and gone on the cheap with the glass discs, we'd probably still have some recordings of him today.
It's possible.
And you say that anything that wasn't viewed as being really significant was melted down for the war effort. And that illustrates another fact, the fact that Aldo Leopold wasn't really appreciated in his own time.
Well, I think that's true. In many ways, of course, he was appreciated. He was a great innovator in the conservation movement, was constantly sort of evolving and coming up with new ideas. But in many respects, he was decades ahead of his time, where he was at in the 1940s. Really wasn't where the rest of the conservation world was. And in fact, I think the best demonstration of that comes from Aldo Leopold's best-known writing, the book, A Sand County Almanac. It's now considered to be the Bible of the modern environmental movement. It's sold millions and millions of copies around the world. But when it was published in the late 1940s, it was difficult for Leopold to actually even get it published. He'd been rejected by five publishers.
That is so hard to believe now.
It is hard to believe, but five publishers rejected the book and said basically that there was no readership for a book like this. And Oxford University Press apparently took a gamble in publishing the book, and it turns out the other five publishers were absolutely right. The book was a total bust through the 1950s, even through the 1960s. It wasn't until 1967 when Oxford came out with a paperback edition, and it was either brilliant marketing or very fortunate coincidence that this coincided with the emergence of the modern environmental movement. And suddenly, there was an audience for A Sand County Almanac 20 years after Leopold had written it. But that is, yes.
It says something about Wisconsin, doesn't it, that here this long-neglected work of Aldo Leopold, one of our own, is suddenly appreciated decades later when another one of our own, Gaylord Nelson, creates Earth Day.
That's right. It was just about the same time, of course, with the emergence of the modern environmental movement, that suddenly people wanted to start learning and thinking about our relationship with the natural world. And Leopold, of course, had written much about that 30 years earlier. It just took the rest of us quite a while to catch on to what Leopold was saying.
Where is the famous shack located?
Well, Aldo Leopold's shack, of course, is the physical setting for much of the book, the first half of the book of the Sand County Almanac. And it's located on the banks of the Wisconsin River up in Sauk County, just a little to the northeast of Baraboo. It's in a fairly sort of lightly populated area. And when Leopold purchased the shack back in 1935, the property that he purchased and the surrounding property was largely derelict land. It had been abandoned by farmers who couldn't make a go on the sandy, very droughty soil during the drought years in the 30s.
And he took that piece of land and dragged his family up there, and I can imagine what they thought going to this shack in the middle of this sandy piece of terrain. Didn't exactly look like a vacation paradise at the time.
No, it certainly didn't. We have lots of photographs showing what it looked like when Leopold acquired it. And, of course, we have the family's stories about their their sort of shock when their father finally got them up to this place, and they saw what a wreck he had purchased. And you have to imagine that some of that was deliberate on Leopold's part. He was at that time particularly interested in the idea of ecological restoration, being able to take severely damaged land and nursing it back to health. And certainly that was his intent in acquiring that property, was to have a place, his own land essentially, where he and his family could put into practice some of his ideas about restoring the health of the land.
Now, Aldo Leopold died young. How old was he? 61 years old? Do I have that
right? He was only 61 years old, and unfortunately paid the price for being a lifelong chain smoker. He suffered a heart attack while helping fight a grass fire on the neighbor's farm. And if you can imagine that it was only 1 week before his death that Oxford University sent him the letter saying that they would indeed accept his manuscript and publish his book. So a Sand County Almanac literally does stand as the end of Leopold's contributions.
In terms of literature, it's kind of the beginning and the end, isn't it? At least in terms of a substantial piece of work.
Well, it's an amazing piece of work, and its value, if anything, has increased over time. It's appreciated not only for its messages about our relationship with the environment, but it's also appreciated as great literature. It's some of the best nature writing that was produced during the 20th century. And the style that Leopold uses is eminently readable. Just about anyone can pick it up and probably relate to the stories that he tells. The difference, perhaps, is that they are not just nature stories. They're stories that have a very deep message about our relationship with the natural world.
The film Green Fire goes to big city urban environments, it goes to wilderness areas, it goes to small cities and towns, and it goes to farm communities. Why so many different types of terrain, so many different types of ecosystems?
Well, I think it reflects the genius of where Leopold was in the 1940s, that his ideas are applicable to essentially all ecosystems, to all human societies, to all cultures. It's not specific to a place. It's not specific to a time. His idea about the need for an underlying ethic, which he called a land ethic, is crucially important to environmental protection. People will only do the right thing with respect to the environment if they have a deep personal or communal sense of what is right or wrong to do. And that transcends, as I said, cultures, places, and time. It's a timeless contribution that he left us.
The subtitle of the film is A Land Ethic of Our Time, and I've got a quote from Aldo Leopold here. There are two things that interest me, he said, the relation of people to each other and the relation of people to land.
A classic Leopold line. He was just great at putting together a sentence that few of us could replicate. But indeed, those were things that fascinated him, particularly the relationship of people to land. And he struggled throughout his life, throughout his career, to try to figure out exactly what was going to be the way to get people to improve their relationship with the land, or land was really Leopold's term for the environment. And he struggled over his career to figure out how to do that. He started off the early phases of career thinking that perhaps regulations were the way to go, that we could essentially force people to behave the right way with respect to the environment. He gave up on that and switched directions, which Leopold did often during his career. He was sort of a classic flip-flopper. Once something wasn't working, he was very quick to move in another direction.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Not at all. No, I wish more people would do that. But he moved on then and said, okay, regulations alone aren't going to do it. Maybe we should try incentives. Maybe there's some way of subsidizing people. Maybe we can sort of bribe them into doing the right thing. And after doing some experiments, many right here in Wisconsin, with that approach, he quickly figured out that that works, but only as a temporary fix. And as soon as the incentives and subsidies go away, so too does the motivation to protect the environment. And finally, he ended up with what he concluded was the most enduring approach, which was to adopt an ethic, basically a moral code of conduct with respect to the environment.
Dr. Stanley Temple of UW-Madison, he is a science advisor to the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and we are talking about Green Fire, the new movie about the life and influence of Wisconsin's own Aldo Leopold, whose shack still stands in the Sand County area around Baraboo. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you'd like to join the conversation, if Aldo Leopold means something to you, if a Sand County Almanac is something that influenced your life, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Stan, I'm going to play a clip that takes us back to a particular piece of land that Aldo Leopold was influenced by, the land around his hometown of Burlington, Iowa.
Leopold was born in 1887 here in Burlington, Iowa, here where the railroad met the river. The Mississippi River carried logs by the millions as the great pine forests of the upper Midwest were leveled. And the railroad, which carried people and goods across the continent and into the Western territories, where more forests would be cleared, the prairies plowed up, and the land put to farming.
We, the pioneers, have killed our wilderness. Some say we had to. Be that as it may, I am glad I shall never be young without wild country to be young in.
And that, of course, the voice of Peter Coyote as the voice of Aldo Leopold. And that first voice you heard was, and please correct me if I'm pronouncing the last name wrong, is it Kurt Meine, his biographer?
Kurt Meine, yes. Kurt Meine is Aldo Leopold's most important biographer. There have been several biographies written now, but his is the most complete. And Kurt was very important to this film as the Aldo Leopold Foundation and the Forest Service tried to imagine what this film was going to be like. We fairly early on decided that it wasn't going to be a Ken Burns-style historical film. We didn't just want to document Leopold's life as a historical testament. We wanted it to be relevant to the present and even to the future. And as we started thinking about how to do that, it became clear that the film wasn't going to work with just a narrator, that you really needed to have an on-screen guide to sort of bridge the past and the present and the future. Fortunately, Kurt Meine, obviously the preeminent Leopold scholar, reluctantly agreed to spend 3 years of his life with the film crew, and the third partner in the production of the film, the Center for Humans and Nature, hired Kurt for 3 years, paid his salary essentially so that he could devote full time to the film.
And at the appearance you made in Wausau, you've mentioned that he threw away the blue shirt that he'd been wearing for 3 years during the filming of the movie just for continuity. When it was over, that was his own personal celebration. Stanley Temple of UW-Madison, we're talking about the life of Aldo Leopold. We'll be back with your questions right after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at UMR.com.
Dr. Stanley Temple of UW-Madison and the Aldo Leopold Foundation, we're talking about Green Fire, the new movie about his life and influence on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. Let's go to the phones, and we have Wright in Wausau. You're on Route 51.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Just wondering if you can tell me where the movie will be available and when.
Well, you can see the movie in Wausau on June 2nd at the Center for Civic Engagement. But if you want to purchase your own copy of the film, it is for sale And you can go to the Alda Leopold Foundation website and order a DVD or a Blu-ray version. The Alda Leopold website, very easy to remember, aldaleopold.org.
And if you want to call up the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin and find out about the Reuter Forum, which is where Dr. Temple will be and where the movie will be shown in Wausau on June 2nd, their number is 715-845-9555. That's 715-845-9555. And if you want to find out more about the movie, there's another website here, greenfiremovie.com. That's greenfiremovie.com. Right, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And let's go to Ned. Ned, you're on Route 51.
Yes, thank you very much for having this guest. I've seen the movie in Stevens Point a couple months ago, I think it was, when it went to the College of Natural Resources, so they were hosting it there. And I really enjoyed the movie. Now, I've taken my students from UWMC down to see the shack and go on a tour.
This is Ned Grossnickel, right?
It is.
Ned, I'll tell you what. What I'd like you to do is
I'll make it brief.
No, talk a bit more, and then I'm going to hold you on throughout the newscast because we almost have to break for news here, and we'll pick you up again at the after we come out of the news. But make the point you were trying to make.
Well, by visiting the shack and reading the book first, then going to see the shack, and having even a member of the Leopold family, one of the children there, it's just a unique experience that really was valuable to all the students that did this.
Ned Grossnickel, he is a professor of conservation here at UW-Marathon County, talking to another professor of conservation, UW-Madison's Stanley Temple. We're talking about the movie Green Fire, the movie about the life and influence of Aldo Leopold. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Ned, hang on the phone if you can. We'll take some more of your comments after we come out of the news. And we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-780-9742 after this short break for news.
Our tools are better than we are and grow better faster than we do. They suffice to crack the atom, to command the tides, but they do not suffice for the oldest task in human history, to live on a piece of land without spoiling it. Aldo Leopold.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and you've just heard another clip from Green Fire, A Land Ethic for Our Time, the new movie about the life and influence of Wisconsin's own Aldo Leopold, father of the conservation movement whose shack still stands and is still drawing visitors to the Sand County country around Baraboo. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest today is Dr. Stanley Temple, science advisor to the Aldo Leopold Foundation. And we also have on the line today Ned Grossnickel, a professor of conservation at UW-Marathon County. And Ned, you were talking before the break about how inspirational the sojourn to the Aldo Leopold shack was to you and your family.
Yes, and especially my students in honor zoology section. We have a large enrollment in Zoology 101 on our campus, but among those students, there are some that choose to take the honor section. And one of the things they were required to do for the 16 years that I taught it was to read a Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold and also essays on conservation from Round River. And it was superbly written, as your guest mentioned, Dr. Temple. And the students really enjoyed it. And we went with the people from the Aldo Leopold Foundation, made arrangements, and they gave us a tour. In fact, one year we even helped them with a controlled burn on the property. It was just wonderful to go and see the site where the good oak had been. In February, he does the different months of the year, and one of them in February, he talks about the cutting down of the good oak. And this essay is just outstanding. It talks about the teeth of the saw going through different years, these concentric layers of the tree, of course, the rings, you know, the tree rings. And you can talk about particular species like the passenger pigeon going extinct at a particular time and how it was such a beautiful bird, and it really helps the reader understand why we need to put limits on how many fish and game we take. Without reading a book like this, it might just sound like the government's trying to intrude on my freedoms. But when you see a beautiful bird, it wasn't the gray, dull type of pigeon we have today. It's just a beautiful bird that went extinct, for example. And it went extinct because people didn't use common sense and take a reasonable number of game at a time. So that's one of the many, many examples in the book where it really helps a person understand why we need to have a land ethic, as your guest explained.
Ned, thanks so much for the phone call, and we'll let Dr. Temple respond. And I do have a quote here from one of his essays, On a Monument to the Pigeon, 1947. Here's a short quote from Aldo Leopold. For one species to mourn the death of another is a new thing under the sun. Stan Temple?
Well, first, I'm glad that Professor Grossnickel and his students enjoyed the visit and would certainly welcome and invite any of your listeners who might be interested to come and visit the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Our headquarters is just down the road from the shack at the new Aldo Leopold Center, a building that until recently was the greenest building in the world, thanks in no small part because it is constructed almost entirely from trees that Aldo Leopold and his family planted in the 1930s. The Aldo Leopold Foundation, in other words, is doing its part to live on a piece of land without spoiling it. The shack, though, is a mecca for conservationists and environmentalists. It's just recently been designated a National Historic Landmark. And although the shack was never built to last, it has endured with careful stewardship, and it has become a real place for people to come and reflect on the messages that Aldo Leopold left.
And Ned Grossnickel also mentioned running into Aldo Leopold's daughter, who I presume is Nina Leopold Bradley, at the Leopold Shack. And Dr. Temple, we're going to play another clip from the movie Green Fire, which features her and features the famous Leopold Shack.
My father not only taught us how to restore the land, but he mostly taught us how to enjoy it.
The shack was as close to nothing as you could get, and still it was everything. It's where we learned to work, where we learned to be together and to sing, and it just pulled the family together.
And now, all these years later, you get to see the people coming from all over the world to visit.
Well, good morning. Good morning to you.
Nina was telling me that big white pine behind
this. This big white pine was one of the early plantings. So that gives you a pretty good idea of my age. It's astonishing to me and exciting to see how the shack has attracted people. My father would be absolutely amazed. And I realize it's simply a wonderful metaphor of simplicity and understanding of the land and pulling it all together.
We abuse land because we regard it as a commodity belonging to us. When we see land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect.
Dr. Temple, the difference between viewing land as a commodity and land as a community to which we belong.
That is the essence of Aldo Leopold's land ethic. You've played several clips from the film that nicely illustrate several of the themes that run through the film. Ethics, community and family. And for Leopold, the idea that we human beings are not separate from nature. We are part of nature. We are part of the biological community on this planet. And as is the case with most communities, there have to be some guidelines on how you behave within that community, especially how you behave with respect to other members of the community. We certainly have lots of moral codes and ethics that govern our relationship with other individuals in the human community, but it was a new idea, Leopold's land ethic, that we should have a similar set of rules and guidelines that would govern our relationship with the other members of the biological community, all those other species of plants and animals, the water and the land, that comprises the community of living things on this planet.
And this wasn't something that he was born with. It's something that he had to learn. Part of the draft forward to a Sand County Almanac, he says, "I do not imply that this philosophy of land was always clear to me. It is rather the end result of a life journey."
And it was a remarkable life journey. Leopold, as you indicated with the earlier clip, grew up in Burlington, Iowa, and we are very, very fortunate that he was strongly influenced by two parents that gave us this person who could write so beautifully about nature. His father was an outdoorsman and a conservationist. His mother stimulated Leopold's aesthetic sense, encouraged him to be a good writer and observer. And we can see how that influenced him as he set off on his life journey. The life journey is a complex one. It started off as a young man, as a hunter, fisher, bird watcher, someone who appreciated nature. He went on to forestry. From there, moved on to what today we might call ecosystem management. He was influential in the founding of the modern endeavor of wildlife management, and finally entered the realm of environmental philosophy and environmental ethics.
And he really had an influence out west in Arizona by the Gila headwaters.
Well, most people associate Aldo Leopold with Wisconsin because of the setting of a Sand County Almanac. But in fact, Aldo Leopold spent the first half of his professional career in the Southwest, working for the U.S. Forest Service in Arizona and New Mexico.
And if you wanted to be a conservationist in those days, the only way to do it and have a career in that field was to get into forestry.
That's right. Even at that time, forestry, the profession of forestry, was still in its infancy, and Leopold was one of the first to graduate with a college diploma in forestry from the Yale Forest School.
And it was in that area in the Southwest where he had that epiphany, that experience of shooting the wolf. He believed at the time that, no matter how many wolves you killed, you couldn't kill enough of them because it would produce more game for the hunters. And he watched the green fire in the wolf's eye as it died, and it changed him in some very subtle ways at first, but ways that eventually changed our entire way of looking at land and our relationship to it.
Well, the wolf shooting incident, of course, is a central piece of the film, and I won't give away the punchline of the full story that was revealed during the creation of the film.
Well, then I won't.
But it was very early in Leopold's career. He had just graduated from Yale. He had just taken the job with the Forest Service. He was only 2 weeks on the job when the wolf shooting incident took place. So he was at the very beginning of his life journey. And it wasn't really until many decades later that the full meaning of that incident became clear to me, became clear to him as he was writing a Sand County Almanac.
1-800-780-9742. If the life of Aldo Leopold is something that interests you, if you've been influenced by the impact that he's had on conservation, on the environmental movement, on the way you view land and our water resources and our wildlife, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. We'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about wolves as an endangered species, and Professor Grossnickel, when he called earlier, talked about the passenger pigeon. But cranes, sandhill cranes and whooping cranes, were also an important focus of Aldo Leopold's life.
Leopold comes along at a unique time, right at the peak of a period when the entire Midwest was going through massive changes. Waterfowl populations were being decimated, other game populations. The hunters and collectors had taken their toll. The wetlands were being drained and dredged through the early part of the century. So he really comes along at probably the lowest point in the whole history.
He estimated back then there were only about 100 cranes in Wisconsin. And the whooping crane was practically extinct then.
And now we're bringing the hoopers back through communities connected all across North America.
When we hear his call, we hear no mere bird. We hear the trumpet in the orchestra of evolution.
And those voices, Peter Coyote as Aldo Leopold. We also heard from George Archibald of the Crane Foundation and also biographer Kurt Meine. And Stan, last night, I have, my home is just south of Merrill, and I was outside, and we could hear the sound of a sandhill crane off in the distance, and it slowly got louder and louder as it got closer, and the voice, the calls echoed up and down the Wisconsin River, and then it flew overhead, almost looking prehistoric. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it, that the crane populations have come back in Wisconsin when we could have lost so much.
Well, certainly cranes, the sandhill crane is a tremendous success story here in Wisconsin, but we have others as well. I mean, wolves are back, peregrine falcons are back, bald eagles and ospreys have recovered. The list goes on. So since Leopold's time, we have actually taken responsibility for the damage that we had done to wildlife populations in the early 20th century and late 19th century. And when the opportunity was there, we found that we could restore these populations. The passenger pigeon, of course, wasn't so lucky. We're coming up in 2014 will be the 100th anniversary of the passenger pigeon's extinction in 1914. And you can be sure it will be a very teachable moment. And Aldo Leopold will be a person of great importance in we don't really celebrate that anniversary, but commemorating it.
It's something that we need to remember. Dr. Stanley Temple, science advisor to the Aldo Leopold Foundation. We're talking about the movie Green Fire. And again, if you'd like to see Dr. Temple and see the film Green Fire, it will be shown June 2nd at the Center for Civic Engagement at UW Marathon County. It's the George L. Reuter Forum of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're taking your calls at 1-800-780-9742. Back after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, proud to partner with Focus on Energy in converting the sun's energy into green electricity with photovoltaic systems for business and agriculture. Learn more at northwindre.com.
Dr. Stanley Temple, our movie features a place in Wisconsin called Coon Valley, where Aldo Leopold did some seminal work in soil conservation.
Soil conservation was another big interest of Aldo Leopold's. He became aware of the issue when he was working in the Southwest, and when he returned to the Midwest and took the position here at the University of Wisconsin, it happened to coincide with the formation of what was then called the Soil Erosion Service. Today it's called the Natural Resources Conservation Service. But this was, of course, after the Dust Bowl and all of the erosion problems of the 1920s, and they were looking for the worst watershed in the country to take on as a place where they could try to heal the land. And Aldo Leopold played a central role in shaping the project that ultimately took place in Coon Valley, Wisconsin, in the Coulee country off of the Mississippi River. And as you will see if you come in and watch the movie, it is a real success story in healing the land.
And he was able to do that not by imposing his will on landowners, but getting the landowners to voluntarily participate.
There was a bit of that. They had to volunteer to sign up, but it was also the phase of Leopold's life when he was intrigued with the idea of incentives, and the government was offering subsidies and incentives to encourage farmers to sign up. But it wasn't completely voluntary, and most of the farmers in Coon Valley did sign up. Just a year ago, I was over in western Wisconsin giving a talk on Aldo Leopold, and this elderly gentleman came up afterwards and produced this brown, crinkled envelope, and he said, you know, I want you to see this. He said, it's the map of my family farm that Aldo Leopold drew back in the 1930s. It's essentially the management plan for our farm. And he said, my father followed that plan, and I followed it, and now my son is following it. So Leopold's influence, you know, it's not only a big influence on society, but he touched the lives of individuals as well, and that legacy persists.
Let's go back to the phones. Dan in Wisconsin Rapids, you're on Route 51. Hello, Dan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Great show. And I just wanted to share that just about 2 hours ago, after I picked my 6 and 8 year old up from school, we've been keeping our eye on a mother crane sitting on a nest right along a cranberry bog by the Wisconsin River. And today there were two hatchlings that we sat for about a half hour and watched with binoculars. And my 6 year old at one point went running back to the car to get a notebook out of his backpack so that he could sit and carefully draw the cranes and the mother, father, and two hatchlings, and it just struck me as a little Aldo.
There you go.
I think you're absolutely right, and that's another big message of the film, is how important it was for Aldo Leopold to be out in nature as a young boy, learning to appreciate nature, and it's something that's of great concern to conservationists today, that children seem to be increasingly isolated from nature. The latest figure that I saw just the other day suggests that the average grade school child spends 45 hours a week watching television. And that means there's very little time to be outdoors appreciating things like a crane family. But you're absolutely right. Leopold, at that same age, was doing exactly what your son was doing, taking notes and making drawings of his observations in nature.
And we try to spend a lot of time out in the woods, and lately it's been they're becoming quite good at identifying birds. Of course, we've got owls and pileated and all the migratory birds through this time of year, and it's really fulfilling, I think, for all of us.
Well, it sounds like your children are not going to suffer from what is now being called nature deficit disorder, which is this total disconnect between the emerging generation and the natural world.
Dan, thanks so much for the phone call, and just an observation. You sound like a great father to me.
Oh, thanks.
And, Stan, in Leopold's time, sandhill cranes were almost extinct. There were no wolves in the lower 48 states. There was no Clean Air Act or Clean Water Act. Now people fish in the once polluted Wisconsin River. We heard on the news at the bottom of the hour that people are talking about eventually being able to swim in the Milwaukee River. Wisconsin has an estimated population of more than 800 gray wolves and more than 20,000 black bears. What would Aldo Leopold say if he were alive today?
Well, I think he'd be very glad to see that progress, and he would probably be somewhat gratified to find that his book finally found a receptive audience, and that the message of the book is actually taking effect in society. The community is actually learning to adopt an ethic in terms of our relationship with the natural world. It hasn't completely taken over, and Leopold himself pointed out that it's going to take a long time for this ethic to become established. you made the quote earlier that he said that there were two things that interested him, the relation of people to one another and the relation of people to land. And Leopold made the observation that it's taken millennia for us to work out a code of ethics that would govern the relationship between people. And it'll probably take us as long to evolve that code of ethics to govern our relationship with the natural world. One just hopes we don't mess the place up too much before we finally achieve that goal.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stanley Temple, Beers Bascom Professor in Conservation at the Department of Wildlife Ecology and the Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, Science Advisor for the Aldo Leopold Foundation. We remind you, you can see the movie Green Fire and hear Dr. Temple speak at the George L. Reuter Forum of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin the evening of Thursday, June 2nd at the UW Marathon County Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau. You can call the Community Foundation at 715-845-9555. You can also learn more about the film Green Fire and reserve a movie copy at greenfiremovie.com. You can also find out more about the Aldo Leopold Foundation at aldoleopold.org. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jake Clotty. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. It's our annual gardening show next week. Until then, thanks for riding with us. We're heading out of town.